I've just been interested in horses my entire life, so I took a year off after high school just to help with the wild horses because I've heard about their cause. I want to do anything that I can do to help, and I'm going to be really sad when I have to go home.
Joyful viewers, we are glad to have you here on Vegetarianism, the Noble Way of Living. On today's episode, we will continue our adventure to Shingletown, California, USA. In this sparsely populated town is the picturesque Wild Horse Sanctuary. Here, not only do the rescued horses and burros run free, but all wildlife is respected.
We have dogs and cats, chickens, we have the wild geese, horses and burros, and then there's wildlife. And the wildlife, I think there's a raccoon getting in my dog food bin every night. We see coyotes when we go out there, and we don't do anything to discourage them, even mountain lion. The mountain lions need a place too, and in my mind, that's all nature.
Founded by Ted and Diane Nelson in 1978, this nonprofit safe haven has helped numerous wild horses who lost their natural habitats after being rounded up for population control by the government or were not adoptable. On more than 5,000 acres of land, these rescued equines appreciate their new lives here. The staff here take daily trips to the meadows to bring hay and supplements to feed the healthy vegan wild horses. Every horse requires about 20 pounds of hay every day.
The wild horses are the easy part. Keeping the fences up and keeping the hay coming and the machinery to get the hay out there, that's the challenge for us. Because 5,000 acres sounds like a lot, but there's a lot of rock, there's a lot of brush. There's not 5,000 acres of grass, and it's not 5,000 acres of cultivation. It's range pasture. So during this time of the year when everything's green, the grass is growing, the horses have a wonderful life. But during the year when it's not growing or it dries out and it loses its strength, then we have to feed hay. And then the hay is a daily ration until the grass is growing. Now, the way it was today with less horses there, that tells me that they're out eating grass, and they'll come down when they want to for the supplement and the salt. But if the food isn't all gone, that's your indicator that they're doing better on grass right now. And that's a good time for them. That's really healthy. That's the most healthy. We do keep some food stations out there all the time so that if somebody comes in late to the feed ground, there's always something there for them, the salt and the supplements. And we feed 300 to 400 tons of hay a year, and it's quite expensive. And if it weren't for the donations that people send us, I don't like to think about what would happen.
With help of these heroic human friends, these fortunate wild horses can live out their lives however they like in the open surroundings here. Horses are highly social animals who thrive in groups. They actively communicate and learn from one another just like people do. This aspect of socializing is vital to their survival in the wild.
When you mentioned that the horses will talk with each other, have you caught on to any of their language, their body language, and the noises they make?
I think you just have to be there and listen. You can tell the difference. If you've had dogs, you know the difference between a happy bark and a bark that's anxious or a bark that's warning. And you hear the same thing when they're whinnying. They're calling to each other, especially on the feed grounds when I hear it the most. If a baby's sleeping, the mom kind of wanders off following the food source, and then the baby wakes up, and all of a sudden he's like, "Where's mom?" And he goes hollering and he's calling, and she answers back, and pretty soon you see them come running up to each other, and you could really tell that that's an anxious, "Where are you, mom?" kind of thing. Whereas the others might just call to each other because somebody went to water and the other one said, "Wait a minute, all of a sudden everybody's gone. I was eating happily. Where are you?" And they'll call, and you can tell they're just calling, and you'll hear them answering back and forth to each other. And a stallion can just look at somebody, put his ears a certain way, and his body language will tell the others to back off. And they just all have this respect for each other where they've developed it in the wild. Actually, I had somebody tell me a really sad story about two domestic horses that these two people just let their horses go to play. And they were just so happy. And it was, you know, a huge, large arena. and the horses were racing around, and then they raced away from each other, and they turned around and raced back towards each other, and as they were coming at each other, they realized they were on a collision course. So each one of them veered off, but they slammed each other so hard. And the vets explained to them as they were trying to treat these injuries that in the wild, these babies play, they learn these things, just like when we learn to drive a car, we learn not to take a corner too fast or we'll tip it over. These horses never learned that because they never got to play with each other as youngsters, and they didn't know the boundaries and the directions. Many things happen naturally if they just are allowed to have the space that they should and the companionship that they were intended to have.
And could you speak a little bit about the intelligence of the horse?
Oh, you know, every animal has a level of intelligence. I think we don't spend enough time with many different kinds to ever come to understand how intelligent they are. But with horses, of course, when I ride a horse and he responds to what I ask of him, there's a communication going on, and that's through him understanding what I'm asking of him. They're no different than any other creation. Some kids go to school and they're quick learners. Some kids go to school and it takes them a little longer, but they eventually get it. Some go on to become really proficient in one area, others in another, and horses can be the same. Some of them love to jump. We've had horses here that just hop the fence. They want to be on the other side, so they just hop the fence. And the training with the wild horses, a lot of people who have worked with our babies especially say that horses from the wild, that they learn quicker than their domestic counterparts. And partly I think it is because in the wild, if they weren't intelligent, if they didn't figure out where it was safe to be and where it wasn't, they wouldn't have survived. And so now when we ask things of them, they just learn it quicker, and they know when to come to food, they know the sound of a diesel engine, and they know when we're their friend, and they know when to go the other way. And that's all part of what nature gave them to help them survive. The wild horses in general, because they are wild, are pretty self-sufficient. If they get little nicks or cuts or scrapes, they heal up. They're just very hardy. I'm always in admiration of them.
And have you bonded to a point with any of the horses where you almost feel like they're talking with you?
Well, I never learned to whistle, but when I bottle-raised Pathfinder, I would just whinny. And so he knew that it was me. And when I would go out in the field, he would come and walk with me. When you spend time with any animal, you develop a relationship with them, and they become special to you.
Now let's meet the beloved Pathfinder.
Okay, this is Pathfinder. He's going to be 19 this year in October. He came to us as an orphan when his mother died. He was about 3 days old, and my daughter was actually feeding the wild horses. And his mother's name was Asia. She was a rescued horse. My daughter had actually gone to pick up Asia from the people that couldn't keep her anymore. And Asia had an afterbirth infection. And she collapsed and died right in front of my daughter. And it was like she was bringing her baby to us for safekeeping. I got a call and carried him home in my lap in a pickup truck and proceeded to get him on a bottle, which he accepted. If I was late feeding him and he'd be waiting at the door for me, sometimes he'd just come in the kitchen and have his bottle in the middle of the night before he went to bed. And so he grew up with us in the yard and was my baby for a long time. But now he's 19 years old and he thinks he's older than I am. He's been a great horse and he's been my friend.
With the fragile balance of our planet in question and the survival of our animal co-inhabitants in peril, Diane speaks about the increasing need for sanctuaries to reconnect our humanity and kinship with animals.
We need more sanctuaries. It seems that globally, if it weren't for far-sighted people willing to take on the job, there are some species that would be extinct in other places and other areas. What's nice about sanctuaries is that people can actually come and learn about the animals and be a part of saving them and feel part of something good that's happening in the earth. And there are, big animals need more room, and the room is what we're all kind of trying to find for ourselves. And so finding balance, and that's what I always find is hard. And I think as humanity moves into the future, if we don't find that balance, we're all going to be in trouble.
And what are ways we can help existing sanctuaries?
People can help by supporting one of them. We have pictures of each animal that comes in, and then if somebody wants to underwrite the care of a particular animal, they can do that through sponsorship. They can always just, the little, any donation in any amount helps with the general care and the operation of everything.
Through the collaborative efforts of volunteers and staff, dedicated veterinarians, and a generous and caring community, Diane and Ted Nelson have been able to provide a protected refuge for numerous precious animals to live out their natural lives.
I think this is marvelous how they're able to help all these hundreds of horses and burros. And I think they're doing a superb job and very conscientious. And at the same time, allowing them to be natural. This is really a godsend for all these many horses and burros, too, that have been rescued over the years, almost three decades.
Our grateful salute to Diane and Ted Nelson and all those involved at the Wild Horse Sanctuary. For this loving devotion to the welfare of wild horses and other animals, Supreme Master Ching Hai is honoring the Wild Horse Sanctuary with the Shining World Compassion Award, along with a $10,000 donation. For more information about the Wild Horse Sanctuary, please visit www.wildhorsesanctuary.org. Pleasant viewers, thank you for your presence today on Vegetarianism, the Noble Way of Living. Up next is Between Master and Disciples. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television. Blessed be your kind hearts and noble deeds.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/VEG.